The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Air guitar.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's another episode of Nerdy Show. In fact, welcome to Nerdy Show. It's a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Nikki.
Hi, I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And we're going to talk about all kinds of cool shit today. A few weeks ago at this point, we talked about Deadpool and how we were, you know, greatly anticipating that film's release. And now it's out and we've got some feelings about it. We've learned that science can perhaps erase memories, a la the Weapon X program. Some crazy shit's happening with DC Comics right now. Apple and the FBI going head to head. All kinds of things to discuss. But more importantly, how's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Moved my cat into my house today, so I'd say that's like 5 stars right there.
Where was your cat before?
At the house I'm moving from.
Oh.
But did you have to?
It's a house-to-house cat move.
Did
you put it in a box?
Yeah! Get him up!
There was a cat carrier involved, you know, but it's been a while for the move to happen, so I've been without my cat for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Cat carrier is a smart thing.
I broke down. So.
One time I had my cat not in a cat carrier in the car, and it was like just getting into absolutely everything that it shouldn't. And I at one point had to pull it because it was embedded in my roommate's neck.
Coheed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Doug?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, me too.
I don't believe it. That's it.
You can't be doing nothing.
Well, I played maybe 20 minutes of Skyrim.
I heard you playing Fallout just a little while ago.
I did. Well, I played maybe.
I heard some major VATS action coming from the living room.
That was literally like just before we started rolling on this. I played a few minutes of Fallout. I went into a building. I shot 8 people. And then I stopped to come in here. So that.
Sounds like you got some pretty good Fallout stories for us.
Yeah. I went into this warehouse and there were like these gangsters with machine guns. And I shot one guy and then I moved to the other guy. None of them were synths. That's my Fallout story.
Cool story, bro.
It's so true, all of it. Yeah, actually happened.
I've been working. You'll see the fruits of my labor soon enough via Nerdy Show, but that's all I got to report right now. That's it. The Phil Collins interview came out in text form, so there's that.
Yeah.
Do we have to see your fruits?
It's optional.
Okay.
But if you want to, I ain't gonna deny you.
Yeah. Are there any fruits coverings?
What?
You know, you're like gonna dress up. You're gonna dress up the fruits, or we just have to. We're getting some bare fruits.
I'd say dip it in chocolate, dark chocolate.
Yeah,
sure. I like dark chocolate.
Yeah,
it's the only true chocolate. I'm just gonna say this right now, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Fuck milk chocolate. I
only like milk chocolate. Fuck
yeah,
dark chocolate.
I'm with Boar.
Fuck it.
I only like milk chocolate.
Man, we're getting into the heavy hitting issues here.
Hey, man,
we've got
really
some strong
matters,
opinions, and we're divided on chocolate lines here.
Dark chocolate all the way, man.
Hashtag team milk.
Gross.
Yeah, gross. Super gross.
No!
Don't make me throw up on you
know,
live.
Oh, no. What's worse than milk chocolate?
Any American chocolate.
White chocolate.
Oh.
Because it's not even chocolate.
It's not really chocolate.
Yeah, it's not. It's unfair to call that chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Hershey's or Nestle or something, and I was going to be like, yeah.
That's candy.
You know,
that's
I used to think I like white chocolate, but now it's just like I feel like I'm eating a stick of butter. I can't get behind it.
Or cream.
No, the only thing worse than regular.
Yuck.
See, I like milk chocolate, so it's unfair for me to say the only thing worse than milk chocolate. But can we just all agree that the shit tiered chocolate is like the Easter Bunny hollow?
Wait, the shit tiered?
Yeah, the shit tier. There's different tiers.
As
yeah.
in. It's cheap, but you still don't want to put it in your
the
mouth.
Hollow Easter Bunny thing of chocolate
it's
is
disgusting.
Always the worst.
It doesn't even taste like real anything.
Yeah. You think so, like, at the Easter Bunny factory, like, someone, like, like farts directly in the rabbit before they seal it up.
I wasn't insinuating that, but I wouldn't be surprised if
they
it's
might.
True.
Who knows?
That's why they purposefully
made it. How do you get that job?
It's like they just they position the hollow rabbit like against their butt, fart directly into the eye hole, and then cover it up with the pastel yellow frosting to make that little eye. And, like,
would you have to have some sort of like a specialized butt plug to direct like?
That's
otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of pressure.
I've never seen that offering before, like a valve release. This is
we've gone off the rails already.
This has been like both extremely mundane conversation going into extremely abstract conversation. Let's get it back on topic. How about you, Boar? What you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up?
Oh, he choked.
I've been a little sick lately, and apparently coughing all over the place. I got a new piece of tech recently that's pretty cool.
In the case itself? Okay.
Yeah, I guess I can show them
the
case.
Yeah,
cool. While Boris is showing us a thing and choking and coughing,
I'm okay, I swear.
We should point out that with our last like weekly update, news and update sort of recording, we did some video work. We published this out on you may have caught it on nerdyshow.com or on our YouTube, and that was a test. That was a simple test. But this time, we've got the entire episode in video format online. So if you want to watch us in the studio, if you want to watch Boar coughing or see his real tears,
if this is about to turn into like a patient zero situation, no offense, man, but I'll put you down. If it means saving the world,
if it's a patient zero situation, we are all done for.
Yeah, you're already fucked. So
we got to figure out ways to like mutually assured destruction in this room is what we got to do for the betterment of everybody else.
So knock over the lamp, start setting fires.
I was trying to talk about, I got these things called Hear, HERE, by Doppler Labs, and what they are is they process sound in real time. So they're kind of like high-tech hearing aids, if you want to put it like that. But there's an app for your phone where you can control EQ, volume. You can add like effects to whatever you're listening to. So like say you're at a concert and there's not enough reverb or something, you can add reverb or echo or lots of other things like that.
That's super weird. So it's like a cybernetic implant. Almost.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird, but like, for example, I showed them to my girlfriend and told her what they could do, and she immediately stole them from me and then got out an acoustic guitar, and I think she was pretending she was playing in Carnegie Hall or something, because you can totally do that.
Is it good for like noise cancellation? Like if it detects stuff coming in and you can...
There are modes for tuning out noises and stuff. One thing that I used them for recently was I actually took them to Deadpool and I watched the entire movie with them.
Ooh.
Did you, was it like, did you watch it in Carnegie Hall or was it everyone a robot? Like what was the sound?
What does that mean?
I could have done that. But instead what I did was I jacked up the volume a little bit and then I took out some of the bass because I thought it sounded a little bit muddy, because you can remix the real world with them. Like, that's the whole point of them.
Oh, my God. How much are these things?
They're $200. They're not super cheap. But they're made for, like, taking to concerts and listening to live music with.
Does it have Bluetooth capabilities?
Yeah, that's how you control them, is through Bluetooth.
So you can play songs off your phone?
Actually, no. That is not one of the functions.
But wouldn't it make sense that you could?
Right,
but it would probably take extra hardware. Like it would probably have to be bigger.
Can you, by any chance, record what you're hearing?
No.
Shit. Because you could, dude. You could.
It doesn't. It doesn't do any. Like all it does with the audio is like the app is changing the processing.
Right. I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
So all it does with the audio is take it from the external microphone and push it into the internal speaker. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually like broadcast it or take it from anywhere else.
I feel like I've seen infomercials for that for like 10 or so years now for stuff just like that.
Oh, to hear the TV if it's far away? Like, mm-hmm.
You mean hearing aids?
No.
But that's, like, that sounds like a cool thing to have, like, especially if you go to some of the venues in Orlando.
Yeah.
That are like really crappy
exactly.
for sound quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that they did for the release was they're giving them to attendees of Coachella, allowing them to purchase them before anybody else.
Here's a $200 thing. We trust you with
right.
that.
Right. I assume that the reason that they're doing that is because they can get people to be like, oh, it sounded so awesome, like, because I had these things, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's
they won't know what
doing.
The name of the band they were listening to was, but they will know the sound was good. Right. Hypothetically. Except yeah. for the point where, you know, they're drunk and high, so the sound quality don't mean shit to them. But sure,
exactly.
why not?
Yeah.
You can tell I'm a big fan of festivals.
Could you maybe devise a way to go into a festival and hack it so you could broadcast to people?
No.
Using their Bluetooth, hooking to their Bluetooth over their phones?
No.
Isn't that what the FBI is doing?
I thought I explained that. No.
I'm playing dumb for the lead in, but whatever. It's a conversation for later anyway.
Gotcha.
Well, so let's talk about Deadpool then, because you saw Deadpool.
Everyone saw it but me.
Right.
So that leads us to the question, what the hell is wrong with you, Doug?
I don't have any money.
Damn it.
And
I've seen it twice.
Why aren't we paying Doug?
And we need to get Doug. That's a great question.
Well, that is our next Patreon tier is buying Doug full time, where admittedly he still won't have enough money to see the movies because we're making sure that he won't work at his job, which is not paying him much.
Yeah. It's basically just it barely affords my food and maybe a little bit of rent just to satiate.
If you want to make sure Doug never has anything to report ever again, but is working nonstop on Nerdy Show, then that's a good option. Anyway, back to Deadpool.
Yeah. So how was it?
It was great.
Yeah.
All of our concerns were not concerns. I'll say this. We're not going to spoil anything here. This is spoiler-free if you haven't seen it yet. But there's never been a film like this made, ever. It is not one of the greatest adaptations ever done because it's not an adaptation of a specific story. But is one of the greatest adaptations of a character to ever make it into film. The amount of commentary on the comic book industry, the filmmaking industry, breaking the fourth wall, having a good time, subverting expectations, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fourth wall was broken
a couple times,
pretty much immediately, and then a lot after that.
Yeah, there were fourth walls broken inside of fourth walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point math was done about that. But.
I mean, yeah, if you haven't seen it, run out and see it. Even the thing we were most skeptical about, the sequences of Deadpool as, like, a normal guy with, like, a girlfriend were really, really well done. In fact, the romance was actually better handled than probably 90% of any time that ever happens on the screen.
I agree.
In most cases, anyway.
I'm going to have to sneak into a movie theater and see it.
Yeah. That's going to be tricky because usually you have to buy a ticket to get in there. So good luck.
I left my wallet inside.
I can find that for you, sir. Which theater were you in?
The Deadpool one. You know, can you just show me where? It's okay. I'll find it. It's the one that says bad motherfucker on it.
There you go. Well, have one of your friends go in and leave it there for you.
I don't want to actually leave my wallet in there.
It'd be an empty wallet.
It'd be like, dummy sir, this can't wallet. Be your wallet. It's empty. Yeah, but it's mine. But why would you want it? It's empty. It's self-defeating.
I mean, how about you guys? Other Deadpool reactions?
One of my favorite things from the movie, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess, is that he had an Adventure Time watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deadpool did? Or
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Like, suited up.
Just like a quick rocking shot? Like
Yep. Just like, boom, Finn and Jake. You know, like.
he does carry two swords.
Did anybody else feel like him, once he is Deadpool, after everything has happened to him, his face reminds me of Ted Danson?
Wow. Yeah, a little bit of dancing chin there. Yeah.
I found a picture of him with the, you know, pizza face going on, and then I found a picture of Ted Danson.
So what do you have against Ted Danson?
Well, let's be frank, and we can see this in the trailers. Deadpool's meat face was not nearly as fucked up as it should have been, especially not for all the reactions that everybody was having in the film. Ooh. oh, can't look at that.
Yeah, that's true. I was like, he doesn't really look that bad. Why is everybody freaking out over
it? If I had to guess, you know, despite all the amazing things that they had to do to subvert the film industry to get this movie made, at the end of the day, SAG was still like, look, you are not crediting Ryan Reynolds if he's not within a certain percentage of recognizability. For example, Gary Oldman played that that weird dude with like the prosthetic face in Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
SAG would not let him be credited because even though he was a major character in the film, because he could not be seen as himself, as Gary Oldman, at any point in time. So you didn't see him credited until the credits rolled.
Huh.
Mm. What about Andy Serkis as everybody?
That was, I believe, like basically glorified voice work under there. I'm not any kind of expert in SAG.
Shouldn't it be glorified voice work under Hannibal? You know, like where do you draw the logic?
I don't know, man. I mean, like these rules may have changed. You know, I'm not interested in really like, you know, bad mouthing SAG or whatever. But all the guilds have really weird restrictive policies. Anyhow, that's just my theory on why Ryan Reynolds did not look
as extreme as
properly fucked up as Deadpool.
It's probably a good theory, though.
Probably. If you know, let us know. something else has been going on is by the time you've heard this, the final episode of the X-Files Season 10 miniseries will have aired. It's only 6 episodes. We've seen 5 episodes so far. What's everybody's reactions?
So far, I've liked it for the most part. I enjoyed... There was one episode specifically that was just very random, didn't really have much to do with the storyline, and it was very campy, I'm going to say. I enjoyed that episode. It was very weird. There was fourth wall break in it at one point where I was kind of like, is this really happening? But it was like it was just a random episode, which I really enjoyed. And then it looks like they're possibly trying to hint to bringing in people very similar to Agent Mueller and Scully, but who are younger. I'm not sure if that was just for an episode or if this is going to be something that they're hoping to get picked up.
I sure hope not. What you're referencing there was the fifth episode
with Einstein,
which was a very strange episode that combined like Muslim jihadists with
Californication.
Yeah. And a bunch of different aspects, and then like a weird parallel to Mulder and Scully in these younger agents. All these parts that shouldn't have made any kind of sense together and then did.
They connected all at the end.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode, but like very strange. And I did love the comedy episode that's written and directed by Darren Morgan, the guy responsible for all the funniest, weirdest episodes of both X-Files and Millennium, featuring I can't remember his name, but the dude from
Flight of the Conchords. Yeah.
Not the manager.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Reese Darby.
Yeah. Who is a fun. There's that entire episode is full of weird, obscure references. Fun fact, he's wearing this bizarre outfit of this blue check suit with like a pork pie hat. I'm not much of a haberdasher, so I don't really know what kind of hat that was. But that's the outfit that Kolchek the Night Stalker wore in the 1970s television series Kolchek the Night Stalker. The first season's on Netflix right now. It inspired the X-Files, and he was wearing the trademark outfit of that character. A really fantastic series. I highly recommend checking it out.
When I was watching that episode, I actually got more of a Psycho feel from it.
Hmm.
Just with the hotel and everything?
Yeah, it being the hotel, the animals.
The animal heads looking through the animal eyes and stuff.
Yeah, like there was a lot of things that kind of were similar. And then there was another episode that reminded me of like a Michael Myers-esque kind of creature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I've really been enjoying it. But I don't know.
I can see some people were saying like that they were a little confused and like every episode's so weird. But I'm like, to me, that perfectly encapsulates what X-Files was.
Every single episode, like, Scully wears more eyeliner.
I didn't notice it was rough. But to me, the idea of like it starts with a strong mythology and it looks like it's going to end with a strong mythology episode. And then there's just weird stuff in between.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's like exactly what you would get in a full season of X-Files, but just crammed it into 6 episodes.
Admittedly, like it started with an X-Files mythology episode talking about the aliens and everything. And then... and like reset you know, the status quo. And then, but it was all so serious. It was so heavy. And then practically none of those threads were picked up again during all the months of the week.
I feel like these bookend episodes are like you could dismiss all the stuff in between and probably just pick it up one after the other.
Which is kind of a shame because it feels like I actually heard, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I heard that it was actually aired out of order.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's true. It might have been just a rumor gone wrong.
Hmm. But that might explain the
Did they post like what they think should have been the order?
I was talking to somebody. So like this is why it's really suspect. But I was
tell
like,
them to make a list, dang it.
But I think we're gonna see more X-Files. And actually, you know, an interesting thing has happened because of this. In the past, we've interviewed Joe Harris twice about his incredible work in the X-Files comics. We actually had an older episode where we had Chris Carter, the creator of X-Files, and Joe Harris and the X-Files editor all getting together talking about the original X-Files season 10, which was a comic book series. They've now ended that season and gone on to season 11 in the comic books. But Chris Carter was always really standoffish about whether or not – originally they were saying this comic is 100% canon. And then he kind of reneged. He's like, well, it is, but it's also in its own universe. So now something very strange has happened, which is that the season 10 had like 25 issues or so. Season 11 is maybe like 10 or so issues in total, and they're going to end it. They're ending it. And then Joe Harris is picking up a new X-Files at a new number one that is actually a canonical X-Files comic.
After this miniseries or whatever?
Like, season 10 and 11 of the X-Files comic, which were supposed to be canonical due to the existence of the television series, are now a tangential universe.
That's kind of a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's great stuff. It's really great stuff that actually tied up a lot of loose ends and was done with Chris Carter. So are we going to see this stuff? Are we going to see this stuff repeat in
Especially
television?
Since you see people in the comic that are not in the miniseries except for like a moment, but you're like, was that them or was it not? And you're like, what the fuck? But so that's disappointing.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Hopefully we will be able to have a good chat with Joe Harris on the show again. I haven't actually made the attempt to do that yet, but I want to because I'm gonna like tell me the story. This is insane. I don't know if he can actually talk much about it diplomatically, but it's very, 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 very weird.
Have to meet him in a dark alley somewhere in a trench coat yeah. with flashlights.
Yeah, I'll tape some X.
Tape an X out the window right over here. He'll call you.
Nick, you mentioned something with Scooby-Doo. There was a weird thing that happened a couple weeks ago, which is DC announced a reboot of Hanna-Barbera properties in comic book form.
Yeah.
It's very strange, very strange. And this is before they announced the actual nature of their own, not a full-blown reboot, but the thing they're calling DC Rebirth, which affects the actual DC comics. But the Hanna-Barbera thing, in brief, it's really bizarre.
How's Scooby-Doo going to be funny without the laugh track telling me when to laugh?
Okay, well, so far it looks like Daphne's holding some futuristic, like, laser gun. You know, we already had Shaggy as a hippie, but now he's a hipster.
He's got a little curly mustache and all that.
Yeah, and he's got the flannel on, you know. I mean, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be goofy enough.
In its defense, it is called Scooby Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So it's not even called, like, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Or anything like that.
What really throws me off is Velma. She's looking, like, younger, but then, of course...
She's either a kid or a midget.
One of the two, and she's holding a gaming, like, a controller. Like, I have no clue what a gaming controller, like, for the Xbox or PlayStation.
And in this image we're talking about, which is the cover of the first issue of this book, it looks like they're inside of a colon. Like, they're in a meaty...
like a grammatical?
Not a cave.
Or anatomical.
Anatomical. Not a cave, but a meaty crevice.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw that picture, but I thought it was just like fan art.
But it
like,
makes me want to know what.
I didn't think it was a real thing.
On.
Yeah, you told me like the Scooby-Doo gang's in a colon somewhere. I'm like, that's on DeviantArt. That's not like.
And he would have gotten away with it too.
If Velma is a kid, then that's a really weird decision because it's undermining the fandom that Velma has, which is largely a sexual fandom. So it's kind of a shame because she doesn't really...
Yeah.
What? There's a sexual Velma fandom.
Because she's like the nerdy
girl.
Well,
I guess there is for everything, but it's more than normal.
Well, you know, yeah, she's if you ask the internet, Velma's the most desirable.
All right, I'm asking the internet right now. She's
surpassed Daphne at this point.
Yeah.
In terms of the female Scooby-Doo the crew.
Yeah. It was a thing.
But Scooby is not the only thing there is. Wacky Racers, and this is the craziest thing. This is probably going to be the best thing they did. Wacky Racers is called Wacky Raceland, and it's created by Mad Max Fury Road designer Mark Sexton.
What?
He's redesigning Wacky Races into Mad Max.
Okay.
Oh, and they're redoing Flintstones, which I'm curious about, because, I mean, what are they going to do with the Flintstones in a comic book series?
It is a dream team working on this. It's Amanda Connor, who is an incredible writer and artist. She's the one responsible for all the most recent Harley Quinn stuff that I didn't care about the character outside of Batman the Animated Series, and she made me in a big way. And it's written by Mark Russell, the guy who wrote Prez, the 17th nerdy thing of 2015 in our top 20 nerdy things list. Prez is a fantastic comic. It's very satirical. It's very funny. And those two working on the Flintstones together, I don't get it, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. I'm curious.
And the weirdest one, easily, is Future Quest, which is...
Johnny Quest.
Well, it's not just Johnny Quest.
It's a huge... Yeah, go ahead.
Johnny Quest could have supported his own comic book. I mean, yeah. Like, easily. But instead, and I'm not going to knock it, but this is... It's every Hanna-Barbera adventure character in one book.
Yeah.
It's Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, the Herculoids, Frankenstein Jr., the Impossibles, Birdman, the Galaxy Trio, and Mitor. All of them.
And weird. I'm most excited for Space Ghost.
All right, I've got an update.
Does it take place in the future?
I've got an update on the Velma thing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I have searched the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I tried a couple different search phrases, including, you know, most desirable Scooby-Doo female, Daphne stuff like that. Velma. Nothing came up with anything good until I typed in sexy Scooby-Doo. And then, yeah, it's almost all Velma. Holy shit.
She's the green M&M of Scooby-Doo characters, you know? Yeah, like, apparently. People want her.
There's some really graphic stuff here. I'm going to right-click and save as a couple of these.
And was there not... one of the series, the newer series, had a Velma as a lesbian, right?
Yeah, Mystery Incorporated, which is the greatest thing to happen to Scooby-Doo ever.
And that was the Cartoon Network show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, if you have a chance to check it out, it's really great. It's a finite show. It has a beginning and an end, and is the only thing of integrity, in my opinion, and I know not everybody agrees with this, but in my opinion, the only thing of integrity to ever happen to the property Scooby-Doo.
There you go.
I kind of hate Scooby-Doo.
I need to check it out. Like,
I'll believe you.
So, yeah, so you may like Mystery Incorporated.
I'll have to correct you on that, because there was once a Scooby-Doo crossover with 1960s Batman.
I've seen it.
I have that on DVD.
That has integrity.
Hey, did you see that time when they got the Globetrotters with them?
Yeah.
All 90 times.
I had that particular crossover on VHS.
So did I.
I didn't care for it.
I have it on DVD.
That's because you don't have a soul.
I need a young boy.
That's
because
you're a kid.
I'll take
kids
it.
With their DVDs.
Oh, right. I forgot Blu-rays. Like, I'm not up on the Blu-ray status. I have a Blu-ray...
I'm not up on
What's
the Blu-ray status.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still at DVDs, and then I call Blu-rays DVDs like an idiot, even though I know there's a huge difference.
They are digital video discs, so.
Thank
well,
you.
It's actually digital vertical disc, which has to do with...
Versatile.
Versatile, you're right.
Haha.
Well, you're right.
I out-nerded you.
I always thought it stood for video.
Is that because of the layers?
You know, because that's a logical thing to assume, and I thought so for years.
Or according to Murray from Flight of the Conchords, who you brought up earlier, it's dubbed video dubbed.
I don't even remember that.
I do, because I'm a bigger nerd. Well,
good, enjoy it.
No, I'm really not. Here's your
trophy.
So the other DC thing they're doing, DC Rebirth. Now... We've talked a lot of trash about DC in the past, and rightly so, because they manhandle their own comics like an abusive spouse. Like, they take good things that they have going for them and slap it around just like a fucking monster. They don't know how to run their own company. They're running their company into the ground. In fact, Marvel made up more than double of the total comic sales internationally or something in the past.
Wow. Month.
Like, DC is a sinking ship. There was a time where... If DC Comics went under, the entire industry would completely fold because brick-and-mortar stores could not support it not existing in a two-party system. But now, Image and the other third parties are doing so good, and Marvel's doing so good, if DC folded, it wouldn't matter.
Damn.
But they have great characters. They have tons of potential. Here's the short version of what happened, in case you're unfamiliar with the timeline of DC Comics. The 90s sucked. They were struggling for relevance. They killed everybody. They made terrible decisions. And then, in the early 2000s, Geoff Johns comes along. And Geoff Johns writes a book called Green Lantern Rebirth, which undoes all the bullshit of Hal Jordan turned evil and killed all the Green Lanterns, and the whole Reign of the Superman bullshit. And he starts recovering everything that was great and beautiful about the legacy of DC Comics, all these powerful characters.
You're saying you didn't like the Reign of the Superman?
It was all right at the time. I love Superboy, and that's the look for Superboy.
Yeah, Superboy and Steel, and come on.
But the part where...
Come on, Cap.
The part where Cyborg decimated Coast City and Green Lantern is like... just, like, crying all the time and then kills all his friends because he's so grief-stricken. Come on. Parallax, come on. Zero Hour, come on.
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore, so. You win.
Now who outnerded who?
I'm going to lose on comics every single time, just, you know.
So, Geoff Johns fixed it. And him doing this Green Lantern Rebirth started this whole chain reaction of DC Comics really lifting up the legacy of all their incredible characters and making it, like, the campier, more fun comics company. Marvel was still kicking ass and being really, like, fresh and modern. But DC had a different vibe to it that was still really fun. It was comic books. And then they destroyed all that. They had an event spiraling out of Green Lantern called Brightest Day that was really cool. It was uniting the Vertigo universe, which previously some editor said, you know what, we don't want characters that that smoke cigarettes and do drugs and masturbate or have genitals at all in comic books. So we're going to just quarantine Vertigo over there. John Constantine, not in the DC universe. Swamp Thing, not in the DC universe. So Brightest Day brought them back in. And just as they're doing that, just as they're celebrating, just as they have this cool multiversal event called Flashpoint, do their victory lap, they kill the entire DC universe. They reboot it in this thing called the New 52, which is a terrible marketing scheme because unless you were following the books, the New 52 means garbage. I was reading it, so I know that there's 52 finite universes. It's not an infinite multiverse like Marvel. So they got the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Okay.
52 new number ones. The entire continuities are truncated. And the Justice League have only existed as characters, like Batman and Superman, have only been on the scene for, get this, 5 years. So all the Robins existed within a 5-year time span.
What?
Oh, and then, of course, with Batgirl, and this is going to be forever my complaint, is the fact that she once was still Oracle, and she goes from Oracle back to Batgirl.
Fully functional legs. Oracle was her in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, she still has some, like, PTSD going on, but then she's young.
So, oh, I wasn't really shot. Like, how does
but
that...
How does she go back to being young? Like, where did all these years of being the Oracle go?
It doesn't make sense. So this whole thing was very abruptly happened. In fact, I recall, and I think I'm right about this, Gail Simone, who was writing Birds of Prey, solicited the next issue of Birds of Prey, which never came out. Mm-hmm. So she didn't even know. They start these new number ones. There's editorial control over everything. So people are publishing books with their names on it that they submitted a script for and then had everything about it changed. The point of one guy actually was losing work because the thing that he wasn't writing that was terrible had his name on it. It was a catastrophe that started to improve. And during this time span between when the New 52 happened several years ago and now, there have been some good books, but mostly it's them dropping the ball again and again. And the reason that I like to criticize is that there's this guy running it, Dan DiDio, who doesn't know comic books from his own asshole, and Jim Lee, who's a great artist, but shouldn't be running a company. Meanwhile, Geoff Johns, who made DC something to contend with again, gets filtered off to Warner Brothers to handle like all the licensing for everything DC, beginning with the Green Lantern film. And even though he has great integrity, clearly his efforts have been wasted on all that because no one must be listening to him. Most of it's crap, except for the television show, which is more of Arrow and Flash and all that, which are more like the DC comics that we had before the New 52 than anything else. So that's a nightmare. And I'm sorry, I've clearly had the the floor here.
No.
I just don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just so complicated. It's just like, all right, when are they going to just, when are they going to reboot in real life? Like, when are they going to shut down and just start over again?
Every time they try to do something to help it, they keep kind of screwing themselves over a bit, like, more. Yeah. But I haven't heard much about what the new reboot is, but I'm just tired of all their reboots.
You should be. You should be very, you should be exhausted. I am too.
I'm done, man. I tried so many times.
This thing is called DC Rebirth.
Yeah.
It's headed by Geoff Johns to be almost a company-wide rebirth. It's what Green Lantern Rebirth and Flash Rebirth were to those specific titles for this whole mess.
Okay.
It's coming May 25th, and it's an 80-page one-shot book that leads into a complete relaunch of everything, starting at new number ones, except, get this, Action Comics and Detective Comics, which are going to their actual all-time numbering. So
what the fuck? Like, what?
Action Comics is 957, and Detective Comics is 934, so that in a couple years' time, they can have issue 1,000.
But
is that the only reason why they're doing that? Just to have a fancy number?
Yes.
Oy.
But he says this thing that's happening here. First of all, in this interview with Combo Resources, he says, like everyone else, I'm skeptical of relaunches. Understatement, massive understatement. But the rebirth is beyond the back to basics approach. It's not just going back to square one. It's much more than something so simplistic. We need to do our best to get this right, and everyone has come together to create a cohesive universe and terrific stories that work individually as well as together. We're doing it by building on everything that's been published since Action Comics 1 up through the New 52, relaying the groundwork for DC's future while celebrating the past and present. It's not about throwing anything away. It's quite the opposite. So something's going to happen in this book that is going to return some kind of like multiversal layer to it, so you can have the same kind of fun that Marvel's
having. My head hurts.
I know. And this is what's wrong with comic books. And DC has always been at the forefront of what is wrong with comic books. But the good news here is, even though me explaining all this shit to you is like, oh, I'm getting a headache. Like, this is a migraine-inducing amount of information here, is that the books might actually be good. Like,
Then I'll start reading them, because I'm not going to do it now based on all the convoluted, we're going to wrap this up, but oh, no, wait, we're going to change it midstream, and then we're going to do this, and if there's no through line, there's no whatever.
He's been talking a lot about legacy. Mm. What they might be turning the DC Universe into is something that can be basically a DC Comics for all time, something that really is just as fun as, say, Young Justice. Young Justice was a great version of the DC Universe. Young Justice happened at the same time as the New 52 was happening, which made the New 52 all the more insulting, because you could be like, this cartoon show has all the continuity you just got rid of, and it's doing it 10 times better than you'd ever done it. So, that's what's up with DC. All the books are ending at issue 52 for the ones that actually stuck around from like the first launch. And so on.
So they made it 52 issues.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's a good place to end that, you know?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So that's what's up with DC Comics.
Maybe they're secretly obsessed with like numerology or like, gotta get to 1,000. If we do this, then.
They might be, because they really might be. Yeah. And there's a whole like list of things that have been canceled and are coming back and all. There's a bunch of weird titles out there, but yeah. I don't know. It's gonna be a change, and hopefully it'll be a good one. And I will let you know if it is, because I wouldn't blame you for never ever trusting them ever again based on all the stupid shit they've done in the past 5 years. Why would you read a DC Comics when you can't invest yourself in it?
Yeah.
The only thing that counts is a good standalone story, which is why they've had some really good runs. Like Azzarello and Chiang's run on Wonder Woman is like the best the character's ever been, which coincidentally happened within the New 52, probably by accident.
Because no one was watching it, because they weren't expecting anything from it, perhaps?
Probably. So, yeah. That's that shit. Mm.
Well, meanwhile, Marvel's been kicking some ass.
No shit.
Yeah, obviously.
That's an understatement.
Obviously, we're talking about like Deadpool, but they released the trailer for Daredevil Season 2, which I'm excited about. Because every time like there'd be a news thing on like Facebook or wherever, it'd be like, oh, a new thing for Daredevil Season 2. Like, oh, sweet, I click it, and it'd be like, the logo would flash and you'd hear audio from like season one. I'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, this isn't a teaser, this isn't a trailer. But here's the first legit trailer for season two.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a trailer. We'll link to it on this episode's page, of course, with everything else.
And a dude from Walking Dead's playing Punisher.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but he's...
the guy who played Shane.
Yeah, the guy who played Shane from Walking Dead. And I was a little, I don't want to say skeptical, but I was definitely just sort of like, oh, he's an interesting choice. We'll see how he does. And I'm waiting to see him. They've been waiting to show him in the trailer. I thought he looked pretty good. Looked like he's going to play the part pretty well, taking it pretty seriously. I'm anxious to see where they go.
I still wish they'd gone for an older Punisher and gotten in Thomas Jane, who could be, admittedly, he could be older, but he's much older now than when he first played Punisher.
Right, right.
Have you guys ever seen, I think it was called Dirty Laundry, which was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
His return as the Punisher unofficially.
The quote fan film produced by Hollywood people starring a Hollywood person. Yeah.
Right.
Well, once he got a hold of the script, supposedly he just like pretty much put his own funds behind it and made it happen with his connects. But I don't know. Either way, I loved it.
But I had heard there's still rumors that not to tie in with Daredevil, but there was rumors that they were reaching out to Wesley Snipes to be Blade in the established Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Should be so weird.
And I'm like, dude, I hope they do that. That would be awesome. Just to make... You know what? All that's canon. Just everything that happened years before all these
superheroes. Is Blade supposed to age at all?
I don't know.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they can CGI him. I haven't seen Wesley Snipes in a long time. Has it been a long time since Blade happened?
Yeah. It's true. But also, new stuff about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
James Gunn tweeted the first official photo, like teaser photo on the set.
Such as it
thing.
Is.
Yeah.
Character
yeah.
silhouettes, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was still pretty cool. It was cool to see little Groot. You know, like hanging
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Groot.
He's gonna be tiny.
He's still tiny Groot. Yeah.
Well, he's bigger than when you saw him at the end credits.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I saw the picture.
Looks like a pop
doll.
I was expecting him to like actually grow between movies.
He's grown like 3 inches.
Yeah. Before he was
But during the first movie, he like can double his size like in a couple instances. Like,
yeah.
He seems a little bit more magical. Like
maybe,
as far as his growth abilities go.
Maybe it was like compressed mass, and he just like extend like what he already has.
Or maybe it's just a cute picture, because I can't imagine them keeping Mini Groot the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm. And I mean, in the comics, if he gets splintered down, like he's back in action, like it's full 6'10" Groot
pretty
quickly. Mm. So I don't know, but I'm psyched.
But James Gunn said that in the film they're going to explore who Peter Quill's father might be.
That's good.
And
they need to do that for sure.
Shortly after that, they announced that Kurt Russell is officially in the film. Mm-hmm. So people were like, "Oh, Kurt Russell's going to be his dad," and this is all this. So people started speculating like, on who Kurt Russell could be. And
obviously, he's a magical being that fathered.
Yeah, being made
Star-Lord.
Of magical light or something.
Everywhere. I couldn't find anything on what Kurt Russell could be doing.
People speculated. There's a speculation that went around that got addressed. Is someone tweeted, like retweeted when James Gunn said, "Oh, official, Kurt Russell's in the film." This person retweeted it and was like, "Oh, Kurt Russell's going to be playing Jason." I'm like, who the hell is Jason? I don't know. So like, I look it up, and Jason was in the comics was Peter Quill's dad, and he's just like human-ish.
He's the
humanoid.
King of,
yeah,
he's king. The king of Spartax.
Yeah,
and there's really nothing mysterious or interesting about him.
Yeah,
he's an asshole. Actually.
He then loses the throne, becomes a villain.
They said that in the first movie.
Yeah, they did. That's the thing. And then, but that's what made me wonder, because there's a lot of parallels. True. Once he goes bad, he then hires bounty hunters to hunt down his son.
Yeah, this has all happened really recently. Actually.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, there's like parallels to what's really going on there. But then James Gunn retweeted to that, and not only said that that's not going to happen, but he mentioned another Marvel character jokingly that people were wondering, is this person going to be in the film, but or be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? But he's probably not. He's just making a joke. He says, "There is no Jason in the MCU, unless in the future that's the name Moon Knight's stoner neighbor gives himself."
Well, and Moon Knight.
So people are like, Moon Knight's going to be in the Marvel episode. They're like, no, we don't know that. He's just making a joke. People got to relax.
Moon Knight has been on the short list of other street level characters to find their way to Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that could be cool.
Yeah. It could be very cool. Moon Knight is a weird as hell character, so...
But wouldn't he be a little bit too much like Daredevil? Like, the Batman-esque?
No.
Like...
No, Moon Knight... Because Moon Knight actually has powers.
So does Daredevil?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, Moon Knight's powers is, one, he's a schizophrenic guy who gets, like, kind of enchanted by an Egyptian deity.
Right, right.
It's... There's much more there.
Well, that just
how could they be cool with that, but then be like, Iron Fist, what do we do with Iron Fist?
I think because Iron Fist is too expensive. I think that's what they're afraid of is how costly doing Iron Fist is going to be. They better do it, because if they just give us Punisher instead of Iron Fist, I'm going to be furious. I want that Iron Fist show so bad.
Especially after you drop all them hints, you know, like it'd be a letdown. But hoping they go through with it.
Yeah. Anyway, we should talk about our patrons, new folks who giving us love. We got one new patron since last time.
Okay.
Jason Rakino. Welcome, Jason. Pretty rad, my friend. However, first of all, I want to remind everybody that if you are patrons of us at $10 or more, once a month, we'll say whatever you want. Last time, Boar gave a negative shout-out, and we also had a PSA about some good environmental tactics. So whatever you want. Just remember to email us, info@nerdyshow.com, send us a message on Patreon, whatever you want to do. But as we mentioned in our prior couple episodes, we have an initiative going on, something we'd like to ask all of you, which is we want you to rate and review us on iTunes. Something we've mentioned in the past as a thing that's good to do, but the reality is that it actually can create new listeners to Nerdy Show. The more ratings we get, the more reviews we have on iTunes, the more your favorite shows will be discoverable and the more opportunities there is for Nerdy Show to grow. Because the more people that are listening, the more people that are sharing it, the bigger we can grow, the more patrons, you know, you can see the math here.
Up until now, it's been accidental people stumbling upon it and word of mouth.
Yes. Word of mouth, still very strong. Mm-hmm. Tell a friend. Tell your family. Tell whoever needs to know about Nerdy Show, Whether it's the videos that we're making now or podcasts, if they're savvy enough to do the podcast game. But this rating and reviewing thing would be huge. It's super easy to rate. All you got to do is go on and click a 5-star rating. And we actually have a new way to make this more streamlined. We have a page called nerdyshow.com/spread the word. And if you go there, you'll find links to all of our individual iTunes feeds for every single show on the network, as well as the Nerdy FM app, where you can rate and review all that stuff. If you go on there, if everybody who's listening to this goes on there and adds ratings, just star ratings, man, this shit would skyrocket. We'd be top of the world. It would be amazing. The reviews also help because we don't know how iTunes algorithms work exactly, but they're all, you know, it's all beneficial.
Think about it. I mean, you go to look at a new podcast, or you're shopping around for something on iTunes or your Google Play Store or something. Are you going to go to the one with, you know, 3 stars, or are you going to go to the one with like 50 stars, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and not just the reviews, or not just the ratings, but it's like this. Oh, they're all 5-star ratings, but there's no reviews.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, you want some substance.
What am I getting into?
We need some more substance. We know there's a lot of you out there, and, you know, just give us a couple of seconds of your time.
Yeah.
Por favor.
So we actually want to give some love here to the fine folks who have left us reviews. Because
sweet love.
We've put the feelers out. You know, we didn't have the nerdyshow.com/spread the word how-to thing, but we said, hey, can you do this? And some fine folks did. And I'm going to read the first one. We got, actually, each of us has a different one that I...
We have a different one.
Handed out here.
I've got a one right over here.
Mm-hmm. This review is called The Best a Nerd Can Get by J.J. Mason. There's no better way to say it. This podcast right here is the best on the internet.
Damn.
If you like anything even a little geeky at all, The Nerdy Show has something for you. It's funny and positive and just weird enough that you feel like maybe you shouldn't be listening to it, but are totally going to anyway because you know what? You're a little weird too, and these are your people.
Damn, that was very well said.
I'm definitely his kind of people.
JJ rocked it. Thank you, JJ. Thank you so much.
Mine says, great podcast by To Action Fan. I came for the Doritos, but stayed for the other nerdy goodness. Truly, they have all things nerdy covered in this podcast feed. And then he also posted a review on the Dungeons and Doritos page. Delicious, crunchy snacks, mayhem, chaos, drama, hilarity, and good times for all who listen to these tales.
Thank you, To Action Fan.
Nice.
Whoa.
That's the crinkling of a Dorito bag.
Showing it off on the video portion
Spicy,
of it.
Spicy sweet chili for those of you who are flavor curious.
It's currently my favorite.
I'm not curious about that flavor. That's actually my least favorite Doritos flavor.
What?
Yeah.
Ew. What's
I know some
favorite?
People think that that's heresy, but
what's your favorite?
Literally any other kind of Doritos. Well, I really like the taco ones. Do they still make those? I see a bag right behind you.
Taco Doritos in the retro bag are distributed in most parts of the United States except Florida.
Son of a bitch.
It's awful.
I've never tried any of these flavors before.
they're looking at the Doritos shelf for Dungeons and Doritos here.
All right. More reviews. I got one of these things over here. I'm going to go ahead and just read it instead of talk about Doritos the rest of the time. A network for all nerds across the multiverse by Wolfboy 1988. Are you a nerd or like things considered nerdy? With quotes. Do you like hearing people's opinions on the newest anime, comics, video games, or tech? Do you enjoy dramatic readings and or dramatic role-playing? Do I have a network to recommend you? If you have something that you like to nerd out about, then chances are they've talked about it in at least one episode of their many shows. The hosts are amazing people, like, you know, me, who continuously thank...
You added that part.
No, I didn't. Wolfboy thought I was great. The hosts are amazing people who continuously thank the community for the success and funding them. If you want something nerdy to listen to, then I say to you, welcome home.
Thank you, Wolfboy.
Nice. No, he really didn't love me in there. I lied a little bit.
You made that part
up. I've been influenced by Brandon.
Now, Doug, I have one for you that's special.
Just okay.
Because this was left on the Ghostbusters Resurrection page.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. So for Ghostbusters Resurrection, this the subject is "Feels like Ghostbusters." I mean that as the highest compliment. By Jeff Stormer. Excuse me. He says, "Ghostbusters is an easy thing to get wrong tonally, I found. You can either be too silly and lose the stakes, or too serious and married to the minutiae of the canon and lose sight of the humor. GBR really nails this balance. The characters are goofy but grounded, the stakes are real, but there's always room for jokes. The action scenes are just the right balance of wild and restrained. The players know when to cite the Ghostbusters protocol and when to fly by the seat of their pants, and it's exciting as often as it is hilarious." That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
Nice.
Yeah, so wonderful
this
reviews.
Makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Did my person have a name?
Yeah, to Action Fan.
I think you read it.
Oh, that was the... I didn't realize that was...
We'll work on a reading comprehension.
Well, see, it didn't look like an actual username.
Fund the network so we can educate poor Nikki over here. Look at her. She's sad because she's not...
I'm sad.
She doesn't know how to read. It's sad.
We'll queue up Arms of the Angels and play it.
Where's Sarah McLachlan when you need her?
So nerdyshow.com/spread the word. That's the page that's got all the resources you need on ways to help us out. Full instructions on rating and reviewing on iTunes if you're curious how that works, why we're doing it, all that stuff. Anyway, if you can help us out, great. The star ratings would be amazing. We've actually got a few shows that actually have no ratings right now, which kind of no public ratings because they need to have several ratings before they – published publicly, which kind of makes sense because these haven't been published in a while. Atomic Robo Nuts and Bolts, no public review yet, or ratings yet. Bits, Rhymes, and Life, no public ratings yet. Nerd Groove, Derpy Show, and Nerdy Show Book Club. So if you like those shows, please go on, give those things 5 stars, and any reviews. But across the board, anything you can do would be great.
Especially Derpy Show.
What's the story with Derpy Show? What people got questions, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have actually been asked recently about, like, what's going on with Derpy Show? What's going on with Derpy Show? And it takes a lot of time to make it, and I've been spending a lot of time over here. And all my co-hosts on Derpy Show are really, really busy all the time. It's always been like wrangling cats with that show, and it's been even more difficult.
Now it's like wrangling eels.
Yeah, yeah. Plus my attention's all over the place, so... I mean, I plan on bringing it back whenever I can get them to do it, but that's difficult sometimes. So,
and committing to a schedule is kind of the antithesis of the spirit of Derpy Show.
Exactly. So, you know, if you want it back, the best thing to do is to go like it on Facebook and just, you know, yell at us.
Complain until it happens?
Seriously, like, you know, if...
Are there some Twitter feeds they should antagonize,
if Chan Sterling or Robo Joe or the girls see any... action, like people going, "Oh, bring back Derpy Show," they will totally do it. So if you can get them excited, fans, we'll do it. So
cool.
Yeah,
cool. Now on to something very serious.
Oh god. I'm gonna tune out.
You've probably seen the message that Apple sent, the kind of open letter about the FBI asking them to build a back door in their operating system for the purpose of a terrorist investigation. Apple was like, look, fuck terrorism. I'm paraphrasing here. fuck terrorism. We fucking hate terrorism. We want to help. But here's the thing. They have asked us to compromise the security of our software in such a way so that there is no doubt in our minds that it would fall into the wrong hands and make everybody on the planet using our products 100% vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. And
yeah, here's the thing about backdoors is when you create a backdoor and you give the key to one person, like say a government agency, you created a door that somebody can pick the lock to. So even though one person has the key,
you gave them a key.
No. That agency, you in theory want to have that key because you gave it to them. But you also created a door. And that's what Apple has been talking about, is that we don't want to create that door that can allow exploitation.
Hmm.
That's the important part. And I mean, the people with the key also. We don't necessarily want them to get into absolutely everything.
Right.
And that's a huge problem too. So it's sort of a double-edged fuck you to consumers to make that door.
Hmm.
And it's a weird situation because lots of people are seeing this and being like, oh, big corporation won't help the fight on terrorism. What the hell?
They actually did a lot, didn't they? Like they didn't they try to break into that person's, like the specific phone in question? Like, didn't they try to help in other cases as well? Like, don't they have a history of helping?
Apple has helped in many other cases, but in this specific case, something different happened. This is what you've seen. In this case, I believe Apple is 100% right, and that the FBI is really trying to set a precedent to create they want to create a security state, but they're actually like doing something that's just going to fuck up everybody's Christmas.
It sounded like they were going to have to create a whole new like exploitable operating system.
Yeah.
Basically.
And the thing here is that. There's an article, which I'll publish a link to, that very helpfully explains all this about the nature of creating what's called a forensic tool. Now, the back door to the thing the FBI has asked Apple to do is create what they're designating a forensic tool. But this forensic tool is actually, you know, a hole in their operating system. The FBI has chosen to classify the thing that they are asking Apple for as a forensic tool, which by them choosing to classify them asking for it as that thing has allowed the courts to be like, yeah, we should probably, that seems like a reasonable request. Before, they've said, hey, Apple, can you help us out with this? And they'll be like, yeah, sure, that's fine. We'll help you get in there. But this is different. They're like, can you give us a tool so we'll never have to ask you ever again? But if Apple does that, then that door is wide open for everybody forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole – the article I'll link to has a whole explanation of the entire process for how it would all the peer reviewing and scientific study and everything else that creates a forensic tool, and the amount of steps involved in this simple request for build a back door has so much involved in such a huge period of time that the FBI is actually delaying the process of cracking this terrorist's phone by requesting that it be something much bigger than it needs to be. If they said, hey, Apple, can you crack this phone for us? It would be done already.
Right.
John McAfee offered to hack it for them, too.
They said, don't crack this phone. They said, crack all phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And there's a ton of misinformation out there. In fact, I saw an article by Carl Hiaasen, one of my favorite like comedic fiction authors. We reviewed his books on Nerdy Show Book Club before. He published an article that's the most fucking ignorant thing I've ever heard from him. And sometimes he can be a grumpy old man. In this case, motherfucker was talking some just fucking bullshit. Like, it was insane. He was saying, all of a sudden, this big corporate company won't concede to fight a terrorist. Like, this is what's happening with corporations rebelling against our government. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm wary of a corporate-controlled America. But I'm also wary of, like, a security state-controlled America.
Right.
Every time I hear that type of stance, like, oh, you know, like, they can go ahead and spy on me. I ain't got nothing to hide. I am mind-boggled by that sort of a mindset.
You want to hide your credit card information?
Right. Like, I don't understand what could possibly be going through their mind.
They think only the government would be able to do it. But the fact is,
like, yeah, go ahead and take away all my freedom.
If the government, well, even if you were actually legitimately okay with the government looking in your phone whenever it wanted to, I'm pretty sure that same person would not be okay if a hacker could do it. Like a complete stranger and stealing your data and stealing your credit card information, your bank information.
But I'm talking even more generally, like wasn't a phone thing, like when the Patriot Act came around, there was a lot of talk about things like this, like government spying, NSA spying, shit like that. And the people with these mindsets like, oh, why don't you want to be spied on? Like, I don't get it. Like, why? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, and these are the same people that don't want government health care.
Right. Right.
It's my body. It's my business, but you can put cameras in my house.
Can you decide which version of socialism you're interested in? No.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's like, even if you have nothing to hide, there's still just this thing about, you know, being a human.
You still poop with the door closed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have legitimate reasons to want to hide things, too. Like, for their own safety, for the safety of the country, for the safety of a lot of different things. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
No, for just wanting privacy. Mm-hmm. I thought privacy was in the Constitution, is it not?
Should be.
So I don't know there's anything that we as normal people can do about this.
I just make a big stink about it.
I mean,
and explain it to others so that they don't, when they hear it on like a news bite on, you know, summed up in 12 seconds on, you know, mainstream news channels, they don't say, oh, Apple's refusing to help the FBI? They're bad, you know. But if they hear it from other sources, then they could, you know, hopefully get the straight answer.
Yeah. So that document, that article that I'll forward everybody to is a very straight answer because it outlines exactly what is being asked of Apple and how insane it is. And it's weird. It's troubling to me how many heavy conversations we've ended up having on Nerdy Show lately. Like, there's been a lot of headlines that are just, like, you know, disconcerting. Trans-Pacific Partnership, all this other stuff. Like we're...
Well, it concerns us as internet people.
Yeah, we are internet
people. I mean, we're real people, don't get me wrong, but we're also on the internet.
We also come from the internet.
Like, I'm strictly internet people. I'm not real.
A lot of stuff is happening right now. It just makes it a very troubling time to live in, that we're teetering on the edge of many kinds of the future in augmented reality and all other glorious things, but then also the scary future.
Some people
don't like
wanna,
the Donald,
you know,
Trump future. What is? Which brings me back to what are people thinking? Come on.
I drive around and then I see the Trump signs in people's front yards. I am so scared.
I haven't seen a lot of Trump signs.
I have seen a lot, and then I've had family members who are like, "I'm thinking about voting for Trump," and I'm like,
"No, I haven't."
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't a political show. There's plenty of those out there, but you know, you're a nerd. You're smart. You're educated. You're listening to this show.
You can make your own opinion.
Yeah, make your own opinion.
Don't vote for Trump.
but go out and read about why.
Have your own opinions, but don't vote for Trump.
Yeah. So let's move on to a technology that very certainly could be used for government programs, as it has been.
It's scary.
In Weapon X.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. There's been some recent breakthroughs in science being able to get rid of memories, like erase or alter your memory. Mm. When memories are formed, right? Like everyone, we all have memories. We know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a memory, when you have a moment, remember, we're talking about memories.
Wait,
we're talking about memories now.
Are we?
Yeah.
One time I remembered a thing.
It was awful. But here's the
Never
thing.
Doing it again.
When your brain experiences something, it forms a memory.
Mm-hmm.
People used to think that, you know, storing a memory would be like, oh, there's a part of your brain that all the memories go into and you recall it, and that's how you recall memories. Turns out that's not entirely accurate. What it's more like is every time you have an experience, a new connection gets made in your brain. So it just keeps... You keep having, like, your brain physically changes each time you have a new memory.
Right.
That's why sometimes you start to lose memories if you don't recall it enough, because it'll start to fade and make way for sort of new memories. But the crazy thing is that each time you try to remember a memory, you are retracing those physical connections in your brain, and that memory changes ever so slightly. So it's like forging a path through the woods when you make a new memory, but then every time you want to revisit that memory, it's like you're walking down the same path. It's not the exact same each time because you're changing it just by remembering it. And every time you remember it, it's a little less accurate. and a little less accurate and a little less accurate. And the more you think about it until eventually it's not really at all what it used to be, which is why eyewitness reports for crimes is kind of unreliable. But anyway, the point being, there is a drug. There is a this company experiments with this new drug. I'm going to pull the name and I'm going to butcher the name because it's a crazy, thing. Basically, so the chemical in your brain is called, I'm going to butcher this.
I can't wait.
Norepinephrine. It's so that's like.
Are you talking about norepinephrine?
Norepinephrine. No. There's no
norepinephrine.
Let's say it 12 more times. Norepinephrine. It might. That,
let's call it memory juice.
It's the it's not memory juice. It's the part of your brain that like focuses.
I've probably only heard that, like, I've heard it on TV shows, and they're probably
like on CSI or something.
Yeah, they probably say it wrong.
Well, that's the part. That's the chemical in your brain that sort of most responds to fight or flight mode, like when something traumatic happens.
Let's call it fear sauce.
Fear sauce. Okay, so the fear sauce in your brain triggers, you know, fight or flight, and you're freaking out.
Right,
you
straight on up to the brain squirrel.
Right. last year, researchers in the Netherlands, they figured out a way to get rid of arachnophobia for certain people that were suffering from arachnophobia.
Wow.
They gave them a drug that would block that from happening. So now that I've sort of explained how when you have a memory and you retread those steps, it just makes it weirder and weirder. So what they would do is they took a sampling of people who were confirmed like arachnophobic.
Uh-huh.
And they would say, okay, we're going to give you a pill that's going to help with the fear. We're going to put a tarantula in a glass jar on the table next to you, and we're going to just measure you, tell us how afraid you are and everything else. So they would have a control group who took a placebo, you know, who would, you know, so they take a placebo and they would sit next to it and they would freak out because they had a traumatic experience in their past.
Uh-huh.
Other people, they would sit them down with the tarantula in the jar and they would take the pill. After about after a little while, they would stop being scared of the tarantula in the jar. After 3 months, they would take the tarantula out and hold it in their hand, and they could just handle the tarantula. These are people who were like straight up arachnophobic, like freak out.
Did they want to? Did they?
It didn't
did
scare
develop
them.
Develop affection. They, for the
no, no, they would. They would. It would. It didn't make them fall in love with the tarantula. To make them, hey, would you? Can you open the jar? Okay, you can open the jar. Can you pick up the tarantula? And be like, yeah, actually, I'm not. They would just not be scared of it anymore. They would still have that memory.
So
of,
weird.
Of being, they would still remember being scared, but it just would not. They would just
like,
not be scared of it anymore.
Fear is so complicated. There's so much right. that goes into the ideas that but create
here,
the fear.
Here's the here's another interesting thing. They had another sample group of people who are arachnophobic took the actual drug, but they wouldn't sit them next to a tarantula. They would just have them talk about, like, you know, the memory. They would sit there, but then after a couple months, they would bring in the tarantula. They would be just as scared all over again, even though they took the drug. For people who took the drug while being in the room with the tarantula, they just got over it and they could handle it and everything.
So you have
and
to even, actually really be like experiencing the fear,
not experiencing it. You just have to like really retread it in your brain and like really not experience it, but you have to associate the memory with the fear.
So
what this drug does is disassociate the emotion from the memory.
Gotcha. So if you wanted to go all like Spotless Mind, you instead of having pictures of your girlfriend, you'd have to actually have her in the room.
Well, you wouldn't forget her. You would just forget. The emotion would be gone.
I'm just trying to plan out this drug.
Right. the even more interesting thing is that up to 1 year after the experiment, those people still could handle like a tarantula. Like they were still they were fine. Well, and it's like the traumatic experience was.
So I'm gonna have to handle the ex-girlfriend.
You wouldn't have to actually handle, but you would get over it is the point. And people were like, "Oh, so
interesting."
So
that's what cats are for,
to help you get over it. Well, they did.
I could take the drug and not be afraid of cats anymore.
They did a similar experiment in mice where they would shock the mice really after a certain tone would play. So they'd like boop, and they would wait, and then it would shock the mice. And after a while, the mice would just be like, they would hear the tone boop, like Pavlov, you know, Pavlov's dog. They'd be scared, waiting for the tone to arrive. Did the same thing, and after a while, they would forget the tone would. Bleep, they wouldn't shock it, but it wouldn't be scared anymore. It would just be like, oh, okay, nothing's happened. All right, we're moving on. It just disassociates that. And to do it even further, they even did it with two different tones. So it's like, boop, boop, and then it would shock them, and it would get scared of both tones. When they would give the drug, when it was only playing one tone, but not when it was playing the other tone, it would be not afraid of the original tone, but still scared of the other. So it even was specific. It wasn't just like numbing you from like all fear. It was for whatever specific thing.
Do you know how
you
long it
with.
Took, like how many sessions it took with the spider before there was any sort of a...
It was months. I think it was at least 3 months before they could pick it up and handle it.
Wow. How often are we talking? Like once a month, twice a month.
I don't think they said exactly when.
Here's the thing.
I'm just wondering, like for something like
how many
if you're afraid of public speaking, for example, how many times are you gonna have to go up in front of a crowd?
Right. Well, I mean, this is just this is just sort of a promising example. And then again, you wouldn't have to necessarily step in front of the crowd and actually face your fear and touch your fear. You would just have to associate it with your fear. So like, because at first what got them to the point where they could touch it wasn't one day they were super scared and then one day they decided they could touch it. They would sit with it in the jar in front of them and say, oh, you know what? It's not scary anymore.
But combine this with virtual reality, convincing Magic Leap style virtual reality, and you're going to find yourself...
That's a really good idea. I like that.
But no, but here's the other thing. Getting rid of like your trauma or a memory is difficult. But what's actually super easy is implanting a false memory by enough suggestion. No drugs are necessary. Like you could.
I mean, you can do that. Yeah, without drugs.
Exactly. Like, I mean, again, this is why like eyewitness reports, you know, are not that great. You know, it's like
especially if somebody has an agenda and they're like leading you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you can't really rely on whatever. So it's like there's videos online. You can see how easy it is to just through association to be like, there was a test done, part of this article that I read. There was a test done where they had a woman pose as a psychologist. And this was an experiment they were running to see if they could implant a false memory. And they were talking to these people and they were talking about like childhood experiences or whatever. And she said, she would over the course of like one session, she would get their personal history. And then they'd come back for the next session and she'd be like, okay, so I spoke with your parents and there was an event in your life when you were younger where you actually got into a fight with your best friend and it got really physical and you were like really upset. Do you remember that at all? And at first they're no, I don't remember that at all. And she goes, oh yeah, your parents said it was really out of character. It was really strange. And they'd be like, I do not remember that. I do not remember that at all. She would say, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an exercise. We're going to try to remember it because she said a sort of similar thing. Well, you got to, you know, re-experience that memory and, you know, it'll come back to you. So just take me through what you were doing at that time and sort of close your eyes and just sort of think about what emotions you were feeling at that time and that time in your life. Where were you? Do you remember where you were at the time? They said you were at like this, and she would name an actual place because she would actually talk to the parents and get like a random location that this person knows that they were at. And after a while of just pushing them, and then she would ask like leading questions, like, was it about a toy maybe that you were playing with? Did they take a toy or something? And they'd be like, you know, there was one time where I do remember getting really angry because of this, and it's completely made up, but they feel like they're actually remembering something because they're like trying to, it's like piecing a puzzle together in your own brain.
I've had somebody try to do that to me once. Like my mom tried to get me to think that she had taken me to Universal when I was a kid. And it never happened, but she keeps trying to implant this memory in my head.
And one of the reasons why that may not work is because there was no social pressure. Like the only pressure was from your mom, and you're like, well, that's just wrong. You're remembering that wrong. But she would add the social pressure of being like,
see, I don't have any memories of having gone on the Back to the Future ride or seeing the Ghostbusters thing or anything like that that was around back then. But she claims that I went there.
Right.
How could I have gone there and not gone on Back to the Future? There's no way at any point in my life would I have ever been able to resist that.
But part of this test was she would say, oh, well, other people do this session and they try to remember it, and 9 out of 10 times they will remember it. So there's a good chance you'll remember it. So now they have this added pressure of like, I don't want to look like a weirdo and be an outlier and not remember something that actually happened to me. And my parents wouldn't lie. Why would they lie? If they said it happened. I have to think of it. And then you invent it. You make it happen. And you actually believe it because it feels just like a real memory. And that's just a really simple watered down thing. But now if you combine these two sciences, is it not impossible to remove a memory and replace it or modify a memory entirely? Where it's like, now they've said that publicly, at least, they have not actually deleted a memory in a human being yet. Only reason is because ethically they're not sure where they stand on it, but they believe that it is entirely possible to with drugs and other I don't want to say therapy, but the psychological approach. So they think they're like, oh yeah, it seems very possible to actually delete the memory where you won't even remember it, and we can replace it with something else. So I think the ethics of that are awful. They only really want to focus on this kind of therapy that exists now for traumatic experiences like soldiers with PTSD. Or people who got out of a really abusive relationship and they can't like move on or victims of violent assault.
So it sounds like they've almost learned the chemical that we as humans already have to suppress memories.
Exactly. It's not even to suppress the memory. No. Right now, the science is being used to sort of
suppress
soothe the traumatic emotion that you
but
associate.
But you think they're trying to get to that point where they could totally wipe and replace.
They think they can. They're not doing it because ethically it's like that doesn't
feel right. Oh, ethics.
Right. They
so
may have already done
they're
it.
They're doing it. They're just not going to tell us about it.
They may have done it. We don't remember.
It's the government.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But
that dang government, them lizard men.
Freedom.
But that brings up the question of, like, is there any acceptable scenario where you would delete a memory entirely and then replace it with something else? Like, is it? I mean, for a poor for
I,
a person,
I bet there's a lot. Like, I don't have any good examples that I would do that to, but I bet there's a lot of people out there that probably would, especially like PTSD.
Right. Now, that's the thing. What I have no right to tell someone with PTSD. That they can't remove this memory that is causing them horrible pain. But if you do that, you are literally rewiring your physical brain.
There could be all kinds of side effects.
That's one of the things I was worried about.
And
is
let's say
the spider thing. What memories are nearby that you might be potentially screwing up? You know,
But let's say that it worked flawlessly and you actually could do it. Like Eternal Sunshine style. You go and say, you know what? I had a bad experience.
If you've never seen Eternal Sunshine or The Spotless Mind.
Highly recommend it.
You really should.
Yeah.
It'll enhance this conversation.
Right. let's say you could delete. Like let's say you went to war and you're suffering horribly. And you can delete that entire memory and replace it. Even if you say, oh, I know I went to war, but I know that
I mean, it sounds like that could save lives.
It could. But on the same time, you are not the same person after that. Better for that? Or
maybe.
Are you, you know, that's the thing.
What if they used it for things similar to, with this, you know, their numbing effects and things like that. But to me, I think of like Chuck, the TV show, and The Intercept and things like that. Like maybe something with this drug could open up your mind to a certain thing.
I'm going
to
need some more context. I've never watched the show.
Okay, so basically, Chuck is a guy. He works for the Nerd Herd, which is, you know, or Geek.
It's like Geek Squad?
Geek Squad.
Okay.
Is basically Geek Squad. Anyways, so he's just a basic dude, but then all of a sudden he opens up this email that was meant for someone else that he knew, and it ended up like flashing all these images and things, and he basically downloaded it into his brain. All of a sudden, he would like see someone. He'd flash.
Sounds kind of like Freakazoid.
All the information would just like pop up. He'd understand what was going on. He didn't understand why he understood what was going on, and he ended up having to work with like the secret agents and stuff like that.
So it's kind of like a Call of Duty Black Ops sleeper Cod cell Blops. Number station kind of like here's beaming info into your head via. Subliminal messages.
And, I mean, people brainwash other people by doing things like this, but it's like, what if this pill could open up those parts of the brain where then all of a sudden you do something, you can be downloading information straight to your brain, rewiring it.
You guys
ever see that movie, The Matrix?
The pill in question really is just to subdue the emotional attachment to the memory. So it's like, if I have a traumatic memory of something, and every time I think about it, it makes me feel like bad and I get like a panic attack.
Right.
Well, they say, hey, what if we could have you keep that memory? So you still, like, you know, the memory is you're still you still remember it happening, but you will no longer get that panic attack.
I wonder if you could just take it when you're having a panic attack. Like, you're clearly
that's the idea
it.
That you could eventually do that. And I think on that, in that aspect, is like keeping the memory but relieving the stress that comes with it. That sounds great.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but and that's what they're on track. That's what their goal is. But taking it to the mad science step of like,
if you did that in the moment of like imagine people getting hooked on like, oh, I don't like this. Like someone who has like social anxiety or some kind of insecurity, they could get hooked on this, and the end result would be they'd be a completely numb shell of a
sociopath
person. Yeah,
well, I mean, you'd have to be literally
and that's
traumatic
the story
about
of my
everything.
Life kids
but you have to have a traumatic experience of everything, because they've proven that it will only do the targeted thing. It won't be like everything all at once unless you literally have a paralyzing fear of
which
everything.
Goes to a question that I had from way back, which is, so are they not afraid of spiders anymore, or are they not afraid of tarantulas?
They said spiders. They were no longer arachnophobic.
I mean,
the idea didn't.
Tarantulas are,
because when you see the tarantula, you associate that fear, like that triggered the memory,
right?
Like that's
of the
ultimate
fear.
Spider, except for like
Tarantula is like the kind of like goofy puppy dog of the
I was going to say puppy too.
Put a daddy long legs in front of me or a brown recluse or freak out.
The bird eater. Was that one?
You know, that's a form. It's a bigger like
you
tarantula.
You take like the arachnid form of the ones with the long spindle, like anything like a like a black widow type.
Yeah.
Like that's a different kind of primal human fear than what the tarantula.
Like, you're getting besides the point. The point isn't the kind of spider that it was. The point was that looking at the actual spider.
Damn it, Doug! We're here to get pedantic on this.
It triggered the memory, and the memory is what it was fixing, not the fear of this one particular spider that you're looking at the moment. Like, because you see the spider, you think, oh man, one time I was really scared by a spider, and now that gets rid of that. So I think it's an interesting direction to go into. But like, if you go to the doomsday scenario of this, it's like, what's to stop like evil corporation like black bagging one of our politicians in the middle of the night, dragging them out, putting the machine on their head, making them forget that they want to help the working man.
Every time he thinks
man.
About freedom.
Yeah. And then they give them, they implant false memories, and now they work for the bad guys.
I don't know. They should probably take them lizard men and do something to them, I tell you.
Lizard men are the ones doing it.
You know, the lizard men, they live in caves. They don't have access to, say, technology, but they do have access to subterfuge.
And I thought the lizard men
that's because of
the
subterranean technology.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, it's a whole thing, Doug. I mean, like
are we talking about the lizard men from the X-Files episode? Are we talking about like there's multiple lizard men?
I mean, the world is full of different kind of lizard men, and there's probably a couple in this room right now.
Oh,
I ain't
God.
Saying who.
Amy.
Anyhow,
I thought we were all going to come out. My bad.
On that sobering note, thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. I want to remind all you fine folks that if you like the show, of course, rate and review us on iTunes. Go to nerdyshow.com/spreadtheword for more info. But if you have the opportunity, well, okay, let me back up. But if you shop on Amazon, at no extra cost to you, anything you buy, if you follow our links, you can in turn help fund the network. Go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon for more details. And pro tip, if you bookmark the URL to get to Amazon our way, you can always get to Amazon via the Nerdy Show link. So try that out and maybe change the bookmarks on other people's computers as more evidenced as a successful tactic.
Yeah, there may be a video where I just talk about that. Yeah.
At nerdyshow.com/spreadtheword, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
don't forget to like and subscribe these videos.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
Go to the YouTube.
Do that, please.
If you're just listening to the audio.
And if you're watching the video, you're already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just click down that over here. Down that way.
Or if you have.
Doug. Yeah. You got it. Right there. Right there. Yeah.
If you have even a dollar to spare, consider subscribing to us on Patreon. You get early releases of shows, bonus content as well. Just let us know.
And we'll like you more.
Yeah.
I mean, just ever so slightly because we know your name.
We'll like all of our
listeners. We'll know you exist. Yeah, we don't know exactly. Who you are until you show yourself.
We've got all kinds of perks at different tiers. But,
present yourself to us.
But a dollar. Yes, do it. but a dollar a month, if everybody did that, it would change the entire Nerdy Show world. So consider it. It's beneficial to all parties involved. And that's the end of the spiel.
And if you can't give that dollar, spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word.
It's free and it's quick. Damn it.
Kind of.
Very quick.
Very quick.
Very quick.
Super speedy. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Nikki.
I'm Boar.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Taking Us Out is a track by Pulled From Panels, an awesome comic book-inspired folk rock outfit from Essex County, Ontario. They've got a new record coming out March 25th called Versus, and this is a track from it all about Bucky Barnes, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier.
This is the story of James Buchanan Barnes. He fought in World War II and saluted the Spangled Stars. But it wasn't until after the Pearl Harbor bombs that him and Steve Rogers were truly called to arms. So him and Steve donned some brightly colored outfits that did a wonder. I'll admit it.
Oh my.
They were freedom fighters telling Hydra to shove it. Where the sun don't shine, but they never could have guessed that. did all of Bucky die in 45 in the wrecking?
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you.
Woo!
You! To keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and also go to YouTube and then click subscribe on our YouTube channel. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Nerdy Show.
Come on, you were laying down the beat. I was going with it. I'll do the bass. Okay.
Cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and